If you have your Bibles there in your living room or dinette or wherever you may be tuned in, Matthew chapter 5, we'll read one verse tonight, Matthew chapter 5, and talk about salt, S-A-L-T. And I want to amplify on where I've been recently on the Beatitudes. He gave the Beatitudes, which is the preamble to the Sermon on the Mountain. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus standing on a mountain, speaking to his disciples. Some of the greatest truths that's ever been recorded in all of history is found in the Word of God. And the only truth that'll stand the test has been recorded for us in the Bible. And he gave us the Beatitudes and said we can be blessed and we can have an enjoyable life if we'll just do what he says for us to do. But we're to be so we can do. Before we can do, we got to be. Before we can do, we got to be. And he continues that in verse 13. He says, ye are the salt of the earth, not the land, but the earth. I believe he covers the whole 8,000 mile circumference or diameter and 25,000 miles circumference of the earth. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. I'm going to talk about a pinch of salt today. I realize that salt has always been a valuable commodity. I did not realize that until I was studying the other day along this line and sort of just did some research and realized that just about every country in the world is heavily dependent upon salt and sodium chloride separated. They're both poisonous. Put them together and they give something that makes a tremendous difference in our lives. I was looking up a definition of what salt is, and I jotted it down, and I just want to read it to you. It said, salt renders food pleasant and palatable and preserves from putrefaction. So Christians, by their lives and instructions, are to keep the world from the entire moral corruption by bringing down by their prayers the blessings of God, and by their influence and example, they save the world from universal vice and crime. Now, I believe what holds back the wrath of God is the salt of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, and every believer is to be salt. And it holds back because it preserves the wrath of God from coming, or even prevents it from coming in God's mind. I believe it's the prayers of God's people that hold back the wrath of God. We are valuable individuals. Millions and millions and millions of dollars are spent on the subject of salt, literally. I think it was the Netherlands that leads the world. Like $277 billion a year. And right now, I think we're number six in America of the importance of salt. And there's not a person that you talk to would have any doubt to say that salt is very valuable in our lives. And the Lord Jesus knew that. And so he's not saying you're going to become salt. He said you are salt. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you'll lose your saltiness, lose the savor, the flavor, and not be good for anything except to be trodden down underfoot. And all over the world, they say, there are people that use salt for roads to walk upon. And they just put it down, it packs down and makes it good roads. But God didn't leave us here to be a road that gets packed down. He left us here to have an influence upon other people's lives. And I like salt. I use sea salt personally. Years ago, I went on a diet, and I probably should go on another one. And I went into what they call hibernation. And there's two things I got off of. One was granulated sugar. I never touched it since that day. And I got off of salt, just regular salt. I just don't use it. And yet I realized how valuable it is. And we was having a baked potato, my wife and I, last night. Wonderful meal, just a baked potato and a baked potato. Nothing like a baked potato with just put stuff on there and enjoy the baked potato. But to put a little bit of that sea salt on there, it made the tater taste better. It made the tater taste better. I believe God wants us to make this world understand that the most sweetest thing in all the world is the Lord Jesus Christ, or may I say the sweetest person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants the world to know that if they would just enjoy him, they'd have a better taste of life. They would be happy. They would be happier if they have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But corruption has set in all over the world. And I watch some of the Facebook pages, and I've been amazed to see how many Christian people, fundamental preachers, are on there, how many people are going live. And it's a new environment for a lot of folks. But what a tool it is to be able to try to get the gospel out and to get encouragement to people through social media. And some folks are more savvy at it than others, but I believe God has allowed us to go through a time that he says, I don't want you to quit, I just want you to keep at it. And even though the environment may change and the circumstance may change and we can't go to churches like we did for a while, hopefully we'll get back to it, because I'm going to say it again, I miss coming together. I miss it. I miss the fellowship with God's people, and I'm saying that as a pastor. I love to be around God's people. I love to fellowship with them. And back in the good old days when you could shake hands with somebody, there's something about that. But until then, God has not changed the Great Commission. He said to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And the avenues that are opening all over the world today, and more people are talking about spiritual things. But in the midst of that, there is a corrupt side. And I think the devil's mad, and the devil's pulling out everything he can to ruin, wreck, and destroy every individual's life he can. So years ago, there was, I think it was during the Vietnam War, there was a retired Navy rear admiral whose name was Jeremiah Denton. July the 18th, 1965, they say he led 28 planes in North Vietnam. He became a POW. Much of the time when he was a POW was spent in a 4x4 box. That's hard for me to grasp. I mean, just the thought of it is enough to almost kill you. But he spent a lot of years, 8 years in confinement as a POW. He finally was released. And they said in the illustration, he come back to Norfolk, Virginia, and he said, I have never seen such moral corruption in all my life. He said, it has changed in those 8 years that he was gone. I'm sure it was bad then before he left, but he saw a deterioration that he could see visibly when he got back from being a POW and went back to Norfolk, Virginia. You know, the moral foundation of our world, the world culture, has crumbled beneath our feet, sinking into decay, into debauchery, into corruption. And it's almost like the adage years ago, if it feels good, do it. And they can snub their nose at God. They can act like it doesn't really matter. They can act like they can do what they want to do. And our world has become more and more corrupt, heading down toward the cesspool of humanity. It is about as low as it's ever been. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord Jesus. As it was in the days of Noah, when God even repented that he made man. I'm telling you, I don't know what God is saying and what God feels altogether. I am not God. But I'm going to tell you, we're pretty low as far as the corruption and the decay that's all around us today. That's the reason why we've got to be salt. We've got to have an impact. You can't have any influence if you don't make impact upon somebody's life. Salt has to touch something to change the taste of it, or to even help preserve something, it's got to make contact with it. And we have a duty to fulfill. And he says, ye are the salt of the earth. He didn't mix words. He didn't play games. He just said exactly who we were and who we're supposed to be. We'll either be used by God as his salt, or we'll be fit only to be trodden under the foot of man. And a lot of people's testimonies are laughed at. A lot of people look at Christians and say, wow, look how they don't live any different than I do, or they live the same way I do. I believe that God's people ought to be different because they are different. I believe the Holy Ghost of God that comes to live in our life changes us forever. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me give you a definition of salt that I gave you a while ago, and then I want to add to that just one point tonight. And maybe the next time I speak next Wednesday, I'll talk about more of the description of what I believe that a Christian is supposed to be. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? And that definition that I read a while ago, salt renders food pleasant and palatable and preserves from putrefaction. Now, so Christians, by their lives and instructions, are to keep the world from the entire moral corruption. I thought about it today. What would it be like if all the Christians were gone? Wow. Folks, I don't think we understand what kind of influence we have. Now, he also talks about light in this same passage, and I may talk about that later. But he says, you're the salt of the earth, a preserver, to be able to help preserve it from corruption. And in a decaying world, we need the salt to be able to make an impact to help. I know ultimately the whole world is going to be judged by God. I know ultimately this life is going to be lived, and folks are going to get worse and worse and more wickeder. Is that a word? More wicked, I guess it is. And they'll end in judgment day and be placed in hell. But until then, we need Christian people to keep at it so they can influence people for good and for God. And may God help us to do that. You see, this dying, degenerate, deteriorating, decaying world is all around us. I love America. I'm glad that God allowed me to be born in this land. I didn't have to be. He could let me be born in some other country. But he allowed me to be born in the good old USA. I'm an old-fashioned patriot. I love America. I want to stand up for the flag. I want to be able to be proud to sing the Star-Spangled Banner. I want to go and live by the Constitution of the United States of America, and that we have the right to worship God and serve God and live for God. And in these days, I don't want that taken away from us. But at the same time, we've got to realize our responsibility. As long as we're in this world, we have a God-given responsibility, and that's to be an influence on other individuals. You see, we only have one thing really that really counts, is our influence. You know, your character is what God knows you are. Your influence is what other folks know you are. You ever heard this statement said, well, I'd be a Christian, but you know, if that's a Christian talking about somebody, then the woods is full of it. Who wants to be a Christian if that's what a Christian is? Well, unsaved people sometimes like to make excuses anyhow, and they'll look around and try to find somebody that's not maybe living the best way or even has a fault in their life, like most of us do, and try to judge all of Christians by every other Christian. Now, I know there's degrees of dedication. I know all of us can do better. All of us can improve. And all of us need to realize that we've been called of God to be the very best salt preserver that we can. A precious commodity. A precious commodity is salt. And what God looks at us, he calls us precious. And by cause of his precious blood, his precious promises, and he come to live in our life, and I'm precious in the eyes of God. And so are you. I'm a precious commodity left here to help make an influence on other folks' life. Consider the statement of Jesus. Ye are the salt of the earth. Drive it down deep in the recesses of your soul. May it catch in the very fabric of your inner being that I have one responsibility as a Christian. Yes, am I supposed to be happy? That's a byproduct. I'm supposed to be salt. I'm supposed to be a preserver. I'm supposed to be a commodity that can bring honor and glory to God. And God has called us that particular item of salt. And he has said, that's what I want you to be. And we have sort of run into a problem of just being salt. And if you quit being salt, after a while, you have no purpose except to be trodden on the foot of man and just be trod down. And how sad that is. Why we have got to that place is because we're not making impact upon people's lives. And I want to just praise God for a little bit of how folks are making impact. I saw just a while ago one of our missionaries that we support here preaching outside at an old closed-up parking lot or place as a business. They're going to have a business, and he's there preaching. Somebody's singing and just preaching to folks as they come in, driving in. I've heard of other folks having drive-in churches. Folks are having Facebooks and Twitter and Instagram and every imaginable thing that's been used by the devil a lot, too. And there's a lot on there that's not fit for human consumption. But right in the midst of that, the salt can come out and have an impact that could change somebody's life. There's people looking, searching, and longing. I think they're searching for meaning for life during these days. We have not been involved like we ought to be. We have got comfortable in Christianity. And because of our comfort in Christianity, when we get back and this thing passes, and I do believe it will pass, I believe that in God's favor, we'll be back to having church, the Lord willing. But if not, so like the Hebrew boys, we're still going to serve God, no matter what the situation avails, or we're not fit to serve. We are called upon to take up the cross and die to ourselves and live for the Lord Jesus Christ until the day he calls us home. By the way, he never called us to be happy. That's a byproduct. He called us to obedience. And as we obey him and serve him, God honors us and gives us that degree of happiness that we enjoy life. And the happiest people in the world are those who are hoping and praying that God will use them in some small way to make an impact on somebody's life. We have many that go to church, but how many of us are salt? I'm not here in a condemning mode tonight. I'm just saying all of us need to reevaluate our lives. I don't think it's just happened that God allows something of the magnitude that's happened without driving Christians to their knees and say, "It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord." And I know I can look at other folks and see what they're not doing. But, Lord, what am I doing? Am I being the salt that I'm supposed to be? And I believe it's important that we keep evaluating that. I know that we're in this world, but we're not supposed to be of this world. I know that we're passing through one time, and God has left us here for a purpose and not just to take up space and just to be counted a Christian, even though that's important. We need to get a hold of the fact that the world is watching and waiting to see what Christians are going to do. They're going to judge us and judge our God by what we do during these critical days. They're going to make those who don't really care, or those who are on the borderline, or those who are away from God or never have been saved, I think somewhere along the way, they're going to see how Christians react to this. Now, if it's not good enough for us to be able to be serving God and loving God and doing what we're supposed to, and we get down and refuse to go on and quit, and then they look at us and say, "Wow, if it don't work for you, why should you expect it to work for me?" We're impacting people's lives day after day. So I jotted down a couple of things. During the virus, send a message by social media. Who would ever think it? I think I heard Brother Willie say tonight, who would ever thought Willie would be on Facebook with a mug like that? Who ever thought he'd be on Facebook? Who would ever thought I'd see preacher after preacher and Christian after Christian and people on these social medias that I never thought would be, especially ones where you can see their face? And it's a little different. It's a little awkward sometimes doing that. I mean, it's awkward for me doing what I'm doing tonight, even speaking to you. But it's important to do it. And yet we need to send a message that can be given with hope and some comfort even across the airways. You do not know who may be across your page. You do not know how it spreads. It's like a virus, a good virus, that just spreads from person to person and person, family to family, and friends to friends. And sometimes you can have hundreds of people who are seeing what you are showing just because you have a few folks and a few friends. It's an amazing web of influence that we have. So leave tracks at various places. I know it's difficult now one-on-one to do what we'd like to do, but we can leave tracks at various places. Give a track from time to time. I've given several this week myself, and no doubt others have. But we ought to leave tracks, a great soul-winning tool. Pray for God to jump in the car as the car passes by your home. Now, that's what I got from Mrs. Jordan. I preached her funeral several years ago over on Broad Street. She said, "Preacher, I can't get out and go. I can't do much for Jesus, but every time a car goes by my front yard and I see it, I say, 'God, you jump in that car and you speak to him.'" What a ministry. What a ministry. I mean, she's doing something for the Lord, and some don't do anything. I'd rather an old-timer who can't get out and incapacitated and shut in. They can pray. They can talk to God. They can intercede to heaven for others. While there may be some others out on the front line, thank God for those on the back who are praying and supporting them as they go. Everybody is important. You can email or call individuals and tell them you're praying for them. I called several this week just on our directory, and I'm trying to go through various people that incapacitated. And I called one man in particular, and he says, "Preacher, I'm so glad you called." He said, "Thank you for calling." He said, you know, when you send out an announcement just that you're going to have service, he says, I get a blessing just to hear that you're going to have a service and have an announcement. He says, I like to hear your voice. I don't know what that meant, but it was encouraging to me to be an encouragement to him. And everybody's different, and everybody goes through different waves in their life. We can sort of all say, well, I can make it, I can do it. You can't do squat without God. Yeah. And sometimes we think, well, we're tough. We can face this. The best of us can get down. The best of us can get discouraged. The best of us can get to the place where we get weary and tired. But thanks be unto God, he says, don't faint. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll faint. You'll weep if you faint not. And may God help us not to be fainting along the way. Continue to support the church and continue to help us financially, that we can continue to send money to our missionaries and to take care of the bills that come up. That's a part of the ministry, of the outreach of it. And we can't do everything, but you can do something, and thank God for that. There are those that I'm seeing who are bitter. They're wondering, where is God? And if you don't think that's true, you start talking to people. There are some people right now who are getting more bitter instead of better. They're turning their back on God, and it's driving them towards Satan and his influence on their life. And some are getting better. I believe there's people evaluating their life, maybe addressing some tonight. And if not, all of us need to let the constant work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Maybe there are those who have doubts or disbelief. Maybe they're tired and weary and burdened. They just need some help. And we got to pray for each other. We got to stay in the battle, because God has called us to be salt. We are his instruments. We are his children, and he's called us to be the salt of the earth. A quote, humanity is a decaying carcass awaiting the vulture of judgment. But until then, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your savor. Don't lose your flavor. Let it count for God in these days, and I believe the last days. The last days. You say, I've heard that all my life. These are the last days. Well, we're closer to the last day before Jesus comes we've ever been before. You say, well, I've heard it all my life. I have too. And now at age 73, preaching since I'm 18 years old, I preach the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to come. Yep. And yet he has not come yet. And it may be 1,000 years before he comes. I do not know. But I don't think it can last much longer. The signs of the times and the budding of the fig tree and all the things that we see in the Bible and all the events that are transpiring, it ought to be that we can say with John on the Isle of Patmos when he said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I think that would be a great answer to our prayers, would it not? Just to go home to glory. But until then, he says, I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to know that corruption is here, but you can make a difference in your life. And I can make a difference in my life with the help of God. May God help us tonight. May God help us tonight to be the right kind of salt and not to lose our flavor or our favor. Father, we bow our heads before you tonight to say thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us into the work of the Lord. And every individual that I'm talking to, be young or old, mom or dad, husband or wife, doesn't matter. Everybody can be used of God. And Lord, may we just draw nearer and nearer to thee, love you more dearly. And Lord, confess our sins regularly, stay close to you. And Lord, may we draw nigh to you. And Lord, as we do, may you draw nigh to us, and we can sense your wonderful presence in our lives. We sure do love you tonight. And Father, may you bless and honor your word. And may God, we make application to us. And in these days ahead, I do not know how much longer it'll be, but Lord, give us extra grace. Give us extra strength. We hadn't faced this before, Lord, our generation. We've not been down this path, but Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your guidance. And Lord, may you lead us every step of the way. And when the dust settles and everything's passed, may we not be worse off. May we be better off because we trusted in the God of heaven, and the God who can make a mistake. Bless every heart, we pray, that's tuned in tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.